Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Follow Miss Brooks. Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 7 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater, program 357 in the series. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl, what's going on?
I'm doing well.
We've got a big Sunday night planned.
I know, and you know, we have a whole, every microphone pretty much is being occupied right now.
Which is unusual for
because,
us.
Because, yeah, we have, well, we have Mike Estella's here.
Hello.
And we have our sponsor is in, Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cats Pride is here, along with Dave Weiske, the VP of Customer Success, and they're both here because...
We're going to give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter to one lucky winner. Before we talk to them, I want to welcome Ben Anderson. He's filling in, and we appreciate you. And I know you filled in last Sunday, and you came back. I was worried. That's a good sign.
Yeah, well, you know, you guys are so nice to me, and you don't keep me locked in the closet like other hosts. So
that's true.
So, yeah.
But, you know, it's not a bad idea every now and then. Keep
yeah.
you,
yeah,
keep
sometimes
you,
I
you know.
Deserve it.
I know. I'm aware of that. Well, it's good to have you.
Good
Thank
to have you here,
Ben. Thank you for being here.
Well, hey, let's talk a little bit about Cat's Pride and why anyone listening all across the country here should be switching over to Cat's Pride if they're not already using Cat's Pride. They should be. Let's talk about that, why they should switch.
Well, it's really a win-win-win. I mean, they're getting a great cat litter. We have a dedicated research and development facility out in Vernon Hills, Illinois, where we have 30 scientists who come in every day and try and figure out how to make a new and better improvement, not only to our cat litter products, but to some of our other products. You're getting a great cat litter. You're getting it at a great price. And then the third part of the win-win-win is what we call our Litter for Good program. And that is every time anyone in America buys a green jug of Cat's Pride Fresh and Light, we donate a pound to a shelter that they actually can direct. They actually can go on the catspride.com website. They can sign up for free, and then they can nominate any shelter they want, their local shelter or whoever they want, and then the pro rata share of those nominations directs our donations. So we just finished our first full calendar year, 2018. Our goal was 5 million pounds donated, and again, this is up to our loyal customer base, because if we sell nothing, we donate nothing. If we sell 5 million jugs, we donate 5 million pounds. And lo and behold, we sold 4.9
million.
Yeah.
4.9 million.
Well, right on. They're right on the money.
So our challenge for 2019 is go out there and tell your friends now. Become an advocate of this thing, because the more jugs we sell, the more we're going to donate. We donated litter to 1,000 different shelters, but there are 13,000 shelters in America.
Okay, so you haven't scratched the surface. We could do 10 times what you've done.
Correct.
Now, let's talk about why it's so important, why these dollars are saving cats' lives. By you donating 5 million pounds of kitty litter, it translates into cats' lives being saved.
Absolutely. So when you think about not having to spend those capital dollars towards litter purchases, what can you do with them differently? We've seen great success with great programs. Please go out to www.catspride.com and check out some of the stories. We have a senior program for senior citizens that it's phenomenal. This one shelter took the dollars that they saved on litter and then adopted it towards this program for really getting an adopt-a-cat for a senior elderly person.
Oh,
how
great.
Cool is that?
That's
yeah.
great.
And I'll tell you, the marketing campaign, starting with the sponsorship of your great radio theater, and then we also were able to sponsor Cat Week with Ellen. So our Cat's Pride Club membership was only 30,000 members when we started 2018. That was after 20 years. So we were putting on less than two a day was our average. We averaged almost 70 a day for the entire year. And when you think about it, it's not surprising because, Carl, I know you and Ellen DeGeneres combined have 78 million Twitter followers.
Combined.
Combined.
It's a big number.
She's lucky she has me as part of that team.
Absolutely.
You know?
You know, one of the reasons that we like to work with you here on WGN is because we know that you're a generous company, but we also know that you're a superior product. And what makes Cat's Pride better than the others?
Well, first of all, the number one reason consumers buy cat litter is odor control. I wish it was to send me through college. That was not their primary motivation.
It might help.
I certainly appreciated it. But the reality of it is they're doing it to control odors. You want to love your pet. You don't want people to come in your house and think you're running like the feline exhibit at Lincoln Park Zoo. So it's got to control odors. Well, with the advent of scoopable cat litter, odor control is really tied to clumpability because when it forms a clump, you can scoop it and get it all out of there. There's nothing to smell. So clump strength and absorbency are critical. And we absolutely have quantitative online measurements for these things. And we would reject any jug. No jug will leave our facility that doesn't meet our standards.
Yeah, and so we should be looking for the green jug, right?
That's right.
Tell us about that green jug.
Well, we wanted a mnemonic, and, you know, green means all about the environment. And people don't really realize this because we haven't advertised it that well. We've had enough features and benefits. But our product is lighter in bulk density. So our green jug, which is exactly the same size, let's say the market leader right now is Nestle Purina's Tidy Cat. So it's the same size as their jug. Theirs weighs 20 pounds. Ours weighs 10. But you fill your tray to 3 inches. You don't weigh in the litter. So we're getting all the fills and half the weight. So why is that green? Because we can put twice as many units on a truckload. So it cuts the carbon footprint in half. That's where we came up with the green mnemonic, and now look for the green jug. So we're the only ones in a green jug, and when you buy it, it not only is a great litter, it not only donates a pound to shelters, but it also cuts the carbon footprint in half.
And we can lift it.
And you can lift it.
Yeah.
Won't break our back going into the cart and into the car. It doesn't hurt any. Well, I can tell you personally that I am a Cat's Pride user. I have a daughter who has a cat who comes to visit on a regular basis. And I switched over to Cat's Pride. And I can honestly tell you that no litter has been as good as Cat's Pride. So I do buy the green jug. And I think it's the best. So there's no better testimonial than that.
Well, Lisa, thank you. And you had me worried because you said, you know, I personally use your cat litter. I have a daughter. And I was thinking, oh, God, are you training your daughter?
Yes, I'm training my daughter and her cat. That's correct.
Okay, good.
But we've also got a lot of people who are texting in pictures of their cat who are appreciating and loving your product. So we appreciate that from our listeners. Go Cat's Pride.
Yeah, and you know what? Dan has been the sponsor of this radio show from day one. Day one sponsor. We really appreciate that. And you know, Dan's a big classic radio fan,
yes,
too. He loves classic radio shows. He's part of the Classic Radio Club.
Gets the
CDs. And you know what? So it's a perfect marriage. And our listeners get these classic radio shows every week because Dan is a sponsor of this show. So I would love it if you would be loyal to Dan, because Dan is loyal to classic radio in this show. So please switch over. You're going to get the best cat litter that you could possibly buy. Plus, you're supporting our sponsor, which is very important to our show.
And it's a special night because tonight we are going to give away an entire year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter to one lucky listener who has sent in an email with their cat's name and their picture. And I look forward to your generosity. We do appreciate that.
Now,
here,
before we do that, let's give out the information, folks, because if you send in a picture of your cat and your name and the cat's name and city and state, you will be entered for next month because Dan and Dave come here every single month and give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. So let's talk about that.
Right. So the email address is catspridephoto@gmail.com. Say it one more time, catspridephoto@gmail.com. Send in a picture of your kitty cat with your name, your cat's name, your city and state, and you might be the lucky winner next month. An entire year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter is such really a generous prize.
It really is. It really, really really is.
Well, Carl and Lisa, we have to thank you as well. I can't tell you how often people tell me, oh, I heard you on the radio. It happens all the time.
That's great.
And how many states does this travel
into? Yeah, so just WGN alone, WGN alone is in 40 states.
Yeah.
So this signal is being heard right now in 40 states, plus parts of Canada. But we also talk about and play commercials for Cat's Pride on our other national radio show, 100 radio stations, over 100 radio stations.
And you can also get this podcast on your computer no matter where you live. So we're actually not limited to 40 plus states.
Yeah.
Anybody can listen to the show, and we hope that they do.
And Dave, real quick, where can people get Cat's Pride?
Well, what's exciting is what we have coming up in March. We have the Monopoly program, which is for Jewel.
Yeah.
The Monopoly program, everyone loves it. This is Safeway Albertsons. So go on out there, look for our displays. We're starting to gear our displays up. We're making those at the factories and shipping them to our domiciled locations, getting ready for the deployment to the store. So we're really excited about it. But online, don't forget about Chewy.com and Walmart.com at this juncture. If you don't have time to go on out and really go out and pick the litter up, even though it's light, go on out to those websites, and they've got great free shipping opportunities. But when you talk about those outreaching locations, and I'm going to go to your far reach, Florida. And I've heard people that have been all the way down in Florida in Publix. Publix is one of our biggest customers in the Southeast, and Publix loves us down there, and we're all over in the public sector. So WGN does reach to Florida, which is a pretty good reach.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think everybody loves you. So,
yeah. Well, you have a superior product, and you guys are superior people. We appreciate you and all the generosity, too. Let's give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter to one of our lucky listeners.
If we can get a drum roll, please.
Looks like I get the luck here. Let's see what he's got. Drum roll. It's one more time.
No. Sorry.
Okay. And here it is. Oh, my Lord. Christina Fixamer. Cats are Diglett and Evie of Pingree Grove, Illinois. Christina Fixamer.
There you go, Christina.
Could be Diglett.
You know what? She sent in her photo. Probably said to herself, probably won't win, but I'll send it in. She's a winner.
Well,
you see how
it
happens?
I never know.
Now all I got to do is go buy a lottery ticket.
That's right.
Yeah?
This is almost as good.
Congratulations, Cat's Pride Nation.
Yes, Dan and Dave, thank you so much. We really appreciate you guys. Thanks for being a sponsor of our show, the main sponsor from day one. And our listeners are very lucky, too. Stick around, folks, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tune into part one of the Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show. Then a little later, it's Dragnet, so stay on board. Well, it's time for classic radio, thanks to Cat's Pride. It's the Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show. Let's go back to October 9th, 1953. Little Alice's first date. I wonder how Phil is feeling about that. Here's part one now of the Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show.
La da 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 da, la da 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 da. You'll never know just how much I love yous. La da 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 da. Julius, what do you think?
Miss Faye, yous'll make Doris call it a day.
All right, Mr. Sharp, I'm ready.
RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, transcribed, written by Ed James and Phil Shukin, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, John Hubbard, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf in his music, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. Tonight's frantic little fantasy is entitled Little Alice's First Date, or I don't want to be a lonesome banana, I'll just hang around with the bunch. And now the stars of the RCA Victor program, Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Phil Harris and Alice Faye are known as Phil Harris and Alice Faye. In private life, however, they are known as Mr. and Mrs. Alice Faye. They have two daughters, little Alice and little Phyllis. But time doing what time does,
They're not quite so little as Phil would like to think. Phil thinks.
Harris, you are divine. You are sublime. You're a sensation. And you are all mine. You're such a doll.
Is that you, Phil?
Honey, if it ain't me, how dare I be so handsome? Oh, sewing something, huh?
No. Just running a needle in and out of Alice's coat to improve the ventilation.
Oh, that really helps, huh?
Every time.
Well, then what's the rush? Why don't you do it tomorrow?
Well, it happens that Alice is going to a dance tonight with a date.
Honey, I got news for you. No baby daughter of mine is going to no dance with no date. Not as long as I got anything to do with it.
And I've got news for you, Mr. Van Winkle. A 14-year-old girl is not a baby.
14? But it seems like only yesterday I was putting her in her playpen.
It was, and she's getting pretty tired of it.
I just can't believe it. In only 14 years, how could she get to be 14 years old?
She doesn't count the way you do. Telling people you're 25.
I don't tell people I'm 25. I tell them that Alice is 14 and I was a father at 11. And they figure the rest out for themselves.
Phil, you can't be a juvenile all your life. Even Mickey Rooney grew up.
Yeah, but not all the way.
Hey, Mom, you know who is ready.
All right, dear.
And here she comes now.
Hello, darlings. Hello, you lovely people.
Holy jumping catfish.
Phil, that's your own daughter.
My own? Hey, that's Alice. Phyllis, pull down all them shades.
What's the matter, Pop?
Some of the guys from the band might be outside and she can't run in them high-heeled shoes. Pull down them shades.
Phil, come
How on. Do you like my strapless evening gown, Dad? Isn't it cool?
Why shouldn't it be? There ain't enough of it to keep it.
That isn't what she means, Pop. She means it's real gone.
Yeah, and if you ask me, it's too far gone. Now put some of it back on.
You don't like the way I look.
Yes, I do, Alice. Honestly, I do. It's just that... Well, I ain't seen this much of you since you had your first baby picture taken.
She's no different from all the other girls. And this is a coming out party.
She's coming out, all right. Looks like she's getting squeezed out of a tube of toothpaste. And what's more... Wait a minute. Hold it, Clyde.
Now what's the matter?
Her lip. She's bleeding.
Oh, will you stop carrying on? That's lipstick.
Lipstick? My baby daughter is wearing lipstick? Looks like you put it on with a trowel.
Mother, he's here.
And furthermore, I'm not...
Father, easy. Let's not get our little brain in a tizzy.
Look, honey,
we'll talk about it later. Be a good boy and let Sniffy in.
Why do I have to... Who?
Sniffy.
Oh, Pop, he's wonderful.
You call him Sniffy?
We won't call him anything if you don't let him in. Now, come on, Phyllis, come on. Let's finish putting the finished touches on Alice, huh?
Oh, Mother, I'm so excited. Oh, he's a doll.
Oh, mush.
Sniffy. Oh, there's a classy name. All right, I'm coming. A date already. First thing you know, I'm going to have gray hair. Or no hair. I'll be a grandfather. Old crawdad.
Hiya, curly old kid.
Who you calling old?
What's the matter? Something go wrong, Dad?
And don't call me Dad.
Okay.
You got a lot of nerve coming in here making cracks about how old I am. You ain't no spring chicken yourself, Clyde.
Wait a minute, let's start this thing all over again. Hi, Curly, how's tricks?
Oh, come in and shut the door, will you?
Beautiful night, ain't it? Not that I care one way or the other, but it seemed like a reasonable way to open the conversation.
All right, Ellie, don't open no conversations. I'm full of problems. I got a lot of problems.
Bad, huh?
Oh, it's Alice, my little daughter. She's growing up. First thing you know, she'll get married. She'll be a mother. A grandmother. She'll be older than I am.
What are you talking about, Curly?
Little Alice. She's going out with a guy.
Oh. I see what you mean.
What do you mean you see what I mean? What's wrong with her going out with a guy?
Well, I remember the first time I went out with a girl. And if I was you, I wouldn't let her.
Look, Elliot, you may not know about these things like this, but there are some kids who don't go around peddling hot hubcaps. And there's some young men that respect American womanhood.
How about the first time you went out with a girl, Curly?
I'll kill him.
There's the first portion of the Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show. And listen to the quality of the radio shows we play here on the WGN Radio Theater. Very proud of it because, you know, we license these shows and we get the master recording. So we get the 16-inch transcription discs. And then we have a lab in Los Angeles. We have two labs, actually, that we use. And they do a digital transfer of that. Then we give that to Mike. So he starts with a great, great quality. And then he takes out any clicks and pops, does a digital remastering of it. And that's why what you're hearing on the air is the quality that we have because we work with the master recordings. And this is specifically why I wanted to start the Classic Radio Club, because I thought we can share a lot of shows with our listeners through broadcasting them, but a lot of people want to own the shows on CD or via digital download. Now, when you are part of the Classic Radio Club, you will get these shows uninterrupted. There will be no editing of anything on there. All of the original commercials, even if they're cigarette commercials, because you know we have to remove cigarette commercials. If they're, no matter what the commercial is, the NBC chimes, everything is on there. All the songs, everything you get when you join the Classic Radio Club, digitally remastered, superior sound quality. Fully intact, all of the commercials, everything's in there. And we now have a special that we're going to run until the end of the show tonight, just like we did last night. You can join the club for the first month for $1. And I know you're a member, Lisa. Mike's a member. People, we have hundreds and hundreds of people that are members. You can join and experience the Classic Radio Club for only $1 for the first month. Now, Lisa will tell you a little bit more about it.
Well, now's the time to do it because we're doing it during the show, which ends at 1 a.m. So if you join between now and 1 a.m., the first month is $1. If you decide to get the CD sent to your house, which is 10 classic radio shows on 5 CDs in the collector case with the liner notes, $1 plus $4.99 shipping and handling. Still, what a bargain. If you choose to do the digital download option, it'll be emailed to your house. You still get the same great sound quality and the same 10 classic radio shows with no shipping charge. Again, just $1 for the first month. Every month you get new classic radio shows, never a duplicate. All you need to do is go to the website classicradioclub.com for more information. And don't wait, don't hesitate. This is your opportunity to join for $1. If you choose to not want to continue in the club, you are welcome to cancel at any time, no questions asked.
That's right. Now, you must use the promo code radio at checkout to get that special $1, which will be available till 1 o'clock in the morning. Just at checkout, you know, fill it all out, and then at checkout, print radio or type radio in the promo code, and then it'll discount down to $1. You will have to pay the $4.99 shipping and handling. if you have the CD sent, but only a dollar. And this is a $40 value, folks. This is a $40 product you're getting for $1 plus shipping and handling. All right, let's take a quick break. Then we'll come back, do news, and then it's more of Phil Harris and Ellis Fay.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, welcome back. It is 11:37. Thanks, Vic. We are going to conclude Phil Harris and Alice Faye because it's a long segment. It's like almost 18 minutes. Then after that, we will do some commercials, some news. And then in our next hour, Dragnet. You don't want to miss that. Jack Webb stars as Sergeant Joe Friday in probably one of the best police detective shows on radio and TV.
And we're going to give away a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's. Play a little Cat's Pride, Really Ridiculous. Yeah. So stay tuned for that.
All right. But right now, here's the conclusion to the Phil Harris and Ellis Fay show.
All right, wait a minute, Curly. Hold it. Now, let's figure this thing out. What do you know about this kid? Where's he taking her?
Just to a school dance. The place will be loaded with chaperones.
Uh-huh. How much can a loaded chaperone watch? How old is he?
I don't know.
15? 20? 25?
I'll tell you, I don't know. He's just a kid that...
What do you mean, 25?
He's in the ninth grade with Alice.
When I was 25, I was in the sixth grade.
Yeah, and at the rate you were going, you would have gotten out when you're 50.
See what I mean?
Oh, Elliot, what am I going to do?
About what?
About Alice. I can't let her go out with a man 50 years old.
You know, it's a good thing I showed up, Curly. You gotta watch these things. You suppose his wife knows about it?
Whose wife?
The kid's.
He's got a wife?
Curly, you don't think you got to be 50 years old without a wife and kids, do you?
The kid's got kids?
You know, this gets worse all the time.
Look, Elliot, you gotta help me.
You know me, Curly. My right arm up to there.
Okay, but now we gotta be clever about this.
You bet.
Real clever.
Diabolical.
You know something? We'll be so clever that this guy'll never know what happened.
Right.
Now, there's only one other thing I've got to figure out.
What's that, Curl?
How do we do it?
That's a problem. Maybe...
I got it. We'll take him in the garage.
And stuff him inside of a tire.
No! We'll work on it.
With sledgehammers.
No, Elliot, no. We'll question him, that's all. We'll find out all about him.
Hold it, Curly.
What?
There's a guy coming up the front walk.
Let me see.
See?
Yeah. Yeah. That's him, Sniffy.
Pardon me?
That's the guy, Sniffy.
He's a clever devil, ain't he? 50 years old and made up to look like a kid of 15.
Hell. Now, look, Elliot.
Yes?
Go outside and grab him.
Right.
And, Elliot.
Yeah?
I'll meet you in the garage in 2 minutes. I gotta get in the mood.
Right.
The story you're about to hear is true. Names have been changed to protect the actors. It was late when I got back to headquarters and I found three bodies piled in front of my desk. That was peculiar because I don't have a desk. It was Harris. My name is Friday. I mean, it was Friday. My name is Harris. Suddenly a voice rang out in the dark and a weird, mysterious voice, a voice that seemed to say...
Is that you, Chief?
Yeah, where's the kid?
Right here.
Okay, let's go to work. Close the door, Joe.
Okay, Chief.
Seven-car garage. We don't fool around with no small stuff.
You ready to start, Chief?
Right. Shine the light in his eyes.
Right.
All right, sir. Start talking.
Gosh, Mr. Harris, I don't know what this is all about. I came to take Alice to the dance, and this man told me that I had to wait in the garage, and I'm very confused. Besides, I don't like garages because I'm allergic.
Won't talk, huh? Now look, sir.
Yes, Mr. Harris?
This boy needs a new washer.
Keep going, Chief. You're doing great.
Okay. What do I do next?
Ask him his name.
Right. What's your name, sir?
Sniffy.
You hear that, Elliot? His name is Sniffy.
A clever alias, but it won't hold water.
Sniffy.
Yes, sir.
I can't keep calling him Sniffy. What's your right name, sir?
My right name, Mr. Harris, is Odell Sneed Hathaway, the third.
Odell?
Sneeden?
Hathaway, the third.
Look, Sniffy.
Yes, sir?
How old are you?
I'm 15, sir.
A likely story, 16 feet a day.
Elliot, will you stop interrupting?
Sorry, Chief, go ahead.
Okay, take over, Elliot.
Right. Sniffy?
Yes, sir?
What mob are you with?
What?
Take him, Chief.
Right. Where do you work? Where do you live?
Where were you on the night, January 16th?
Elliot.
Sorry, Chief, slipped down.
You want to take over?
No, go ahead, you're doing fine.
Okay. Sniffy, now pay attention. What are your intentions toward my daughter?
Well, if she don't bother me, I won't bother her.
Chief, might as well face it. We're not getting any place. We'll have to use force.
Force? What kind of force?
Oh, nothing elaborate. Maybe a few of the basic torches, like the Iron Maiden, the Chinese water cure, listening to Guy Lombardo.
Art Linkletter won't get it, huh?
You better let me out of here, or I'll tell my father.
Now we got him.
I didn't want to go to any old dance in the first place.
He's cracking wide open.
I don't like dances, and I don't like girls. And you better let me go home.
Keep going, sir. You're doing fine.
My father's the district attorney, and when I tell him what you did to me...
You hear that, Chief? His father's the... Who?
He's the district attorney. That's who my father is.
Take over, Curly.
I should have gone to the football game in the first place. That's what I should have done.
Curly got it already. That's Sniffy. Odell, boy, you got us all wrong. Hasn't he, Elliot? So wrong.
He doesn't know why we brought him out into the garage, does he?
He thought we were going to torture him.
Yeah. When all the time, all we wanted to do is give him some tickets to the football game.
In the garage?
No, in the Coliseum.
Oh. Well, gosh, I thought you were mad at me or something.
Us?
Mad at you? Did you hear that, Elliot? He thought we were mad at him.
Good old Odell Sneeden.
Yeah. Now, look, Sniffy, here's a couple of tickets for the Rams game. Now, go ahead out of here and have a lot of fun.
Yeah, live it up. Have a ball.
The Rams? Gosh. Thank you, Mr. Harris. Thank you very much.
Yeah, give my regards to your father.
Yeah, say hello to the DA.
Goodbye.
Hey, Curly. We did it.
Oh, we got rid of him, didn't we? Wait till I tell Alice.
Hey, boy, will she be tickled, huh?
Hey, wait a minute, Elliot.
What's that?
We forgot one thing.
What's that, Curly?
We never found out how many kids he had.
Honey.
Now, Phil, have you seen Sniffy? He was supposed to have been here 15 minutes ago.
Tell her, Curly.
Hey, honey, wait till you hear what we did. Just wait till you hear.
Mother, I can't understand it. He promised he'd take me.
Oh, Alice, baby, listen, you got nothing to worry about. We fixed that Sniffy character.
We sniffed him good.
Yeah.
You what? Oh, Mother.
Yes, sir, it'll be a long time before he comes messing around here again.
Phil. You didn't send him away.
Send him away, you hear that, Curly?
Hey, honey, you should have heard it. Man, Elliot started that torture business on him. And
Phil
when he...
Harris.
Oh, Mother.
Well, wait a minute.
Alice, you didn't want her to go out with that drip, did you?
Oh, Phil, if you'd only keep on to the things that don't concern
you. It concerns me as much as anybody. She's my daughter, and she ain't going out with no strange guys.
For your information, Phil, they went to kindergarten together.
It's like I said, Curly, a pickup.
Well, gee, we were such good friends. He carried my books, and I carried his nose drops. And now he'll never speak to me again.
Oh, honey, don't. No, honey, gee whiz, I was only trying to help.
Oh, you were a big help.
I tried to help, too.
All right. All right, get going, both of you.
What?
You've got just 5 minutes to produce Sniffy or a reasonable facsimile.
She makes the kid sound like a box top.
Now, look, honey.
Get.
Wait a minute, Alice. I'm the head of this family, and I'll look for Sniffy when I'm good and ready.
Phil?
I'm ready. Come on in.
We're going to look for him, Curly.
Oh, how do I know? Come on, let's get. We'll ad-lib as we go.
Oh, Mother.
Oh, Alice.
I'm so miserable. What am I going to do?
Oh, well, gee. Snuggle up, kitten, huh?
Bum-diddly-dum-da-da-da-dum.
Bum da 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 dum da 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 da. Wait a minute. Drop it a fifth.
Bum da 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 dum da 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 da.
Sniffy!
You know, Curly, I don't think we're going to find him this way.
What makes you think so?
They never found Chloe, did they?
Hey, wait a minute. That's an idea.
What?
Any good swamps around here?
No. But why don't we look for him at the Coliseum?
What for?
Well, ain't that where the Rams are playing?
The Cucamonga Rams?
You mean you gave him tickets?
Oh, Curly, you're a clever one. But clever?
Yeah. I'm as sharp as a sack of wet cement. I got news for you. If I don't produce Sniffy, I ain't going home.
Hey, Curly, what about that other thing? You know, the facsimile.
What are you talking about? Where are we going to find a thing like that at this time of night?
Curly, when she said a facsimile, she meant... Look out!
A facsimile is look out?
No. It means the same thing.
Then what's the difference?
Curly, look. When I say... Look out! That's Julius!
Why, that little runt tried to run us down. I'll find...
He's a facsimile. Curly, we got it.
Julius is a facsimile?
In a nauseating sort of a way.
Hey, why don't you guys stand still? What's the matter, you chicken or something?
Hey, he's backing up now. He's going to stop. Look, I got an idea.
What?
If we can't find one of them facsimile things, how about using Julius?
Curly, you are a loop.
What are you fellas doing up on a sidewalk? Don't you know it's dangerous?
Oh, hello, Julius, old buddy boy.
Maybe I clipped them going by.
Could we speak to you for a moment, please, sir?
I must have mangled the both of them.
Hey, Julius, how would you like to go to a dance?
Can you lead?
Come here, Julius. Just a little closer.
I'm close enough. What do you got on your mind? As if me deadly intuition didn't tell me.
No, kid, not today, no. No, you got us all wrong, old buddy. We're your friends.
Either me intuition is dead or I'm gonna be.
Julius, we're gonna make you a real happy kid.
You're going to let me back the truck over here?
Got a wonderful sense of humor, that kid, huh, Ellie?
A laugh a minute, Curly. Yeah. Nothing but laughs.
Alice, please, you're taking all the fun out of it.
You're supposed to fight me.
You? You? Our buddy? Our pal?
Our facsimile?
Hey, Judas. Now listen, how would you like to take a beautiful young lady to a dance?
I ain't interested.
But we already made the date for you.
Great! Call me up tomorrow and let me know if I had a good time.
Don't be that way, Julius. Look, we'll do anything you say. Name your own terms.
Ooh, this dame must be a darb.
Well, are you going to go or ain't you?
Will you wash me truck?
I'll wash and he'll wipe.
Will you deliver me groceries all day tomorrow and call me Mr. Abruzio?
We will call you dear Mr. Abruzio.
King of the supermarkets.
You'll do all that for poor little insignificant me?
How about it, Julius?
I still ain't interested.
Now look, you little creep.
Leave him alone, Elliot. Leave him alone. Don't bother him. Just leave him alone. If he won't, he won't. Just means poor little Alice won't go to the dance, that's all.
Well, she'll get over it.
Oh, Alice, huh? Wait a minute, me good man. I have decided to reconsider your proposition. I shall be only too happy to accompany the fair damsel in pursuit of type Sicorian delights.
Huh?
That means yes.
Oh. Well, then, go ahead, Julius. What are you waiting for?
You want I should take poor little Alice in the truck?
No. You can take my car. But look, hurry up. You'll miss the whole dance.
I'll dance like a breeze, like a feather floating in the summer air, like a bird in the arms of the girl I love.
You got any intuition?
Why?
Mine tells me something is all loused up.
Hey, Alice.
She isn't home, Pop.
Who isn't?
Anybody isn't. I'm all alone.
Well, that's funny. Where do you suppose...
Hi, Uncle Elliot. How's every little thing?
Oh, great, Phil, great. Little Alice get taken care of all right?
Sure. She and Sniffy went to the football game.
Sniffy?
Well, you said you gave him tickets, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, sure. Hey, look, Phyllis. What happened when Julia showed up?
Well, he and Mom went to the dance, like you said.
Oh! This is Phil again. Thank you, and good night.
Good night, everybody.
Included in this program transcribed was Gil Stratton. The part of Julius was played by Walter Tetley. This has been an NBC Radio Network production.
Guys, just love the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show. So much fun. They really seem like they were enjoying themselves, right?
Like the way we do doing this show. No question.
Such a great radio series. That was from October 9th, 1953, the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Shop at Woodman's, Lisa, because we have a special promotion with Woodman's. You know all about it, right?
I sure do. You go shop at Woodman's and you send a picture of your receipt to woodmanswgn@gmail.com. And what will you send to them?
I will send them 12 classic radio shows via digital download. And I've been getting these in. You know, they come in to me. I see them. And then Rob Feldman, he's great. He takes care of it, sends it out to everybody. But you know what? We're getting them every single day. People are shopping and getting their classic radio shows.
But the reason that we're partnering with Woodman's is because we have learned about Woodman's and we realize what a spectacular grocery store it is. And it's not a regular grocery store. And what I mean by that is I know that the ad just said you can find absolutely everything under one roof. You don't have to go to multiple stores. But what we've also found out is that they have great prices and it's just a really really positive shopping experience. Oh, we had such a good time when we went to Woodman's.
Yeah.
The options are endless.
Everything you could imagine is there. I mean, if you, no matter what kind of brand you want, they have it. They got it all going on. It's all employee owned. They've been around forever, and they're open 24 hours a day.
Yeah, so we hope you'll check out Woodman's, and you'll also get 12 free classic radio shows. So
speaking of classic radio shows, Roger Badish just got his latest Classic Radio Club CD set in the mail, right?
Yeah. I had a couple of Westerns in there.
Yep.
Had some comedy stuff.
Yeah. Suspense.
Had suspense.
Usually we put a suspense in there.
Yeah, because there's so many of them.
Jack Benny.
So good.
Well, Roger, tell us about
the
classic.
And Phil Harris. You just played Phil
Harris. Yeah.
I haven't told you this before, but I love Phil Harris.
Oh, yeah.
I do.
You know how much fun this is for me, being a lunatic for these classic radio shows? Every single month, I look at the library of 100,000 shows, and I say, okay, this is a really great show. I'll pick this one, pick that one. And then I write these liner notes. And I'm working like 3-4 months in advance. I'm like working right now with Mike on, I think, June or July or something like that. We're working on that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, because we got to send them to the manufacturer.
Yeah.
Because these are you know, professionally manufactured. They come in a case, full color case and everything like that. But the great thing we're doing now, and especially we have another hour for this special.
Ooh.
If you sign up before 1 a.m., and you use the promo code radio, you can sign up for the first month for only $1.
Are you kidding me? $1. Come on.
Yeah, you'll get your 10 classic radio shows with the liner notes emailed to your computer.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to them on any listening device, $1 for the first month. Or if you want the CDs, 5 CDs with 10 shows, that's $1 also, but you pay the shipping and handling, which is $4.99. Because we have to ship it to you. I mean, you know.
Right, with the electronics, sure. Now, and you know what's great is to sit there, and I know maybe half of what you know about old-time radio shows.
God, that'd be a lot then, Roger.
I don't know, Roger.
It'd be a lot.
All right, maybe a tenth.
You're really bringing yourself up here.
But see, you'd need a huge head. You see my head, how big it is?
Look at this thing.
It's like a giant bulbous head.
But
it's all classic radio information.
Turn on the bulb.
There's not much else in there.
No, there isn't.
That's all there is.
But when I get the liner notes, I learn new stuff. As I'm listening to the show, it's like, oh, wait, I thought I knew this program already. I didn't know this. And of course, you know, you got to show off and tell me stuff I don't know.
Wow.
And
that's
of course,
what's so great.
You get the liner notes no matter which way you go. So you get the CDs, you get the liner notes, and you get it emailed, you get the liner notes just as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a great thing. The liner notes as a companion while you're listening to it. And especially for us elder states people. Who can sit there with our children and grandchildren and say, here, look at this. Look at the pictures. Here's what they say about what you're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're educating the younger audience.
Yeah, and that's why we did this. It's a great club. It's a lot of fun. Hundreds and hundreds of people have joined. And, in fact, they've been kind enough to send in their comments. So we posted a lot of those comments as testimonials right at the website. So check it out. Go to classicradioclub.com. Do it before 1 o'clock in the morning. Do it right now, and then you'll sign up, and you'll get all of this for just $1 the first month.
Don't wait.
No, and you have to put in the promo code radio at checkout. That's the only way to get that price. But do it before 1 o'clock in the morning.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Are you Carl Amari or are you Lisa Wolf?
Oh, I'm happy to be me and you be you.
Happy together.
No, you'll be you and I'll be me.
Who sang that song? Was that Sonny and Cher?
The Monkees?
Who was it?
The Monkees?
So happy together.
The Monkees, I'm guessing.
I'm not in the body but you in all my life. That was like, man, that was like way back.
Who was that, Benji?
I'm going to guess that was like 1969 or 70.
Is it the Monkees?
Bum, bum, bum,
it's just
bum,
a good
bum,
guess.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da, you
me
and all
you,
my life.
And you and me. No matter how they tossed the dice, I don't think it had to be.
I don't think it was the monkeys.
Well, that's just my guess.
I don't know who it was. Anyway.
It was the turtles.
The turtles. I was so close. Monkeys, turtles, yeah. It's the same.
And that's one of my favorite candies, too, the turtles. Oh,
with
I
the
love.
Nuts. Didn't oh, I buy you so turtles good. From...
Oh, my Pixies? Yeah, turtles.
No, I brought you turtles. Back turtles when I went yeah. to... What's the name of that?
Fannie Mae.
No. That fancy oh, candy store in
yeah.
Florida. The,
oh, yeah.
The...
I mean, I like just the
Kilwins.
Regular...
It was yeah. Kilwins.
It's like the regular Fannie Mae ones are so good.
I'm not a fan.
But my
nuts.
Favorite candy of all time?
Yes, Raisinets.
Nope.
Chunky.
Like me.
And what's my favorite candy? Oh, come on.
Red licorice?
No, not even close.
I don't know.
I don't even like that.
I don't know.
Well, I know
favorite
yours.
Favorite candy? Nibs?
No, not
what
even.
You like?
You're not even in the right lane.
Chocolate.
Here.
You just like dark chocolate. That's your favorite.
I like peppermint patties, ugh. Junior mints.
Ew.
Those are my favorite. Those are the best. Those York peppermint
Hang on.
Patties.
I have my thing that does the
I know.
Throw
I bought it
sound.
For you. I know.
All
Those
right.
are delicious. All right. It's a new hour.
It is.
And it's Monday.
Yeah.
So happy Monday.
This hour, Dragnet. You don't want to miss that. Dragnet from 1949. Jack Webb stars in a broadcast called The James Vickers Case. That's coming up. But right now it's time to play Cat's Pride. Is it real or is it ridiculous?
Yes, the celebrity is Sally Field, one of my favorites.
Flying Nun.
Yes, I love the Flying Nun back in the 60s again.
And she was Gidget, too.
She was Gidget. Yep. And we're going to give away a Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
You like me?
Oh, she was so likable.
Remember that when she did that on the Academy?
You
like me?
Okay. She's one of these people that her career
she's
has
great.
Just gone on and on. And
she and
still...
Burt Reynolds, they were an item pro.
Yeah, that was a while back. Yeah. But she was
Smokey
adorable.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah, she was really cute.
All right. I digress.
So, anyways, we're going to do a little Sally Field, and we're going to give away Lou Malnati's gift card, and we're going to look for caller number 3.
All right. Call us now, 312-981-7200. Call now, play the game. We'll be right back.
We're going to get ridiculous with Bob. He's on the phone. Hey, Bob.
Bob.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing good.
Good. Glad you made it through.
Hi,
Bob. Play a little Real or Ridiculous with Sally Field. You ready to go?
I am.
Okay. Number one, she owns a restaurant in Beverly Hills called Southern Hospitality. Is that real or ridiculous?
Ridiculous.
I'm going with Bob. Ridiculous.
Bob is right. That is
right,
not
Bob.
True, but Justin Timberlake does. So you guys are doing well. So far, so good. Okay, number two. She was cast as Tom Hanks' love interest and his mother.
Ridiculous.
I'm going to say real on that one.
It is real. So in 1988, she was Tom Hanks' love interest in Punchline. And in 1994, she was his mother in
Forrest Gump. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Right,
it's
Bob,
crazy,
this
right?
This is for you, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
And this one's for me.
Okay, here we go. Sally Field landed her first big role at the age of 18. Is that real or ridiculous?
Real.
Yeah, that's real.
That is real. And what was the TV series? It was Gidget.
Gidget.
Exactly. So you guys are good. And you know what, Bob? You are the big winner here. You've won a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com. Do you like pizza?
I do, and I'm going to try Lou Malnati's.
There you go. Give it a try.
You're going to
be hooked forever.
We like the spinach, Bob, but, you know, maybe you're a sausage guy or mushroom, whatever, but we like spinach.
Okay.
So try it out.
Okay, whatever.
Thanks, Bob.
Take care. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate you.
Have a nice night.
You
Stay
too.
Warm.
Thanks a lot. All right, Bob's a winner. Hey, Lisa, I got all three right.
You did.
All three
What is
right.
going on here?
Man, I got to buy a lotto ticket.
I think it's just you're on tonight, Carl.
I need a lotto ticket.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go that far, but let's stick with the real
You know
ridiculous.
What? I'm going to stop at Woodman's on the way home, get a lotto ticket.
Good idea.
Because
Do
Woodman's
they sell
is
them
open.
There?
Yeah. Woodman's is, they sell everything at Woodman's.
Yeah, they do.
They're open 24/7. I'll drop you off, and then I'll go to Woodman's, pick up a lotto
and
ticket.
Do a little shopping while you're there.
Go home tomorrow and become a millionaire.
And don't forget to take a picture of your receipt and send it in to Woodman's WGN. WGN@gmail.com.
Yeah, I get 12 classic radio shows.
What a deal.
Woodman's WGN@gmail.com. Is that what it is? All right. You ready for some drag? Didn't you want to say, tell me something about some... We got a minute or two.
Okay. You know, I read an interesting article today in Tribune. It was about 10 things millennials do that they have actually killed in society. Meaning
millennials killed it?
Yeah. You know, millennials, they say, are born between 1981 and 96. So anyone who is 22 to 37 years old is in that category. So Ben is out.
Yeah.
Anyways, a couple of things that no longer are doing well because millennials are not using them. For example, napkins. They don't use napkins, only paper towels. So the napkin industry is way, way down. Millennials aren't purchasing napkins.
Oh, you mean like,
Napkins. Do you use napkins?
No, I actually
don't.
You don't
buy napkins?
Nope, I only use paper towels.
That's
maybe
what they're
I'm
saying,
a millennial.
Only paper towels.
Maybe I'm a millennial.
Okay, as far as soap is concerned, they don't use they use soap, but only liquid soap.
I've never bought a bar of soap.
You are kidding me.
I'm a millennial.
You only use liquid soap?
I only use liquid soap. I use Axe.
All right, I'm going to go on.
I use Axe or Irish Spring, but it's in the liquid. I don't use the bar.
All right.
Soap.
Next, what about fabric softener?
I figured this out. I'm a millennial.
Okay, now they don't use fabric softener.
Never.
Even know what it is.
Never used fabric softener in my life. I just get the regular Tide, pour it in there, and then but for the dryer, I use the
dryer sheets.
But I don't use fabric softener.
All right, I'm gonna
I don't
give
use
you
bleach
one
either.
More.
I don't use bleach
one
either.
One more.
I'm a millennial.
Cereal. Now, say it isn't so. They find cereal to be inconvenient breakfast choice because it requires cleaning up after eating.
I eat cereal.
You're a big cereal fan.
Yeah.
Anyhow, there's a bunch of things they say that millennials just have putting out of business.
The first three things, though, bar of soap, fabric softener, and the napkins. I don't use any of that.
Well, there's more things. Mayonnaise. They don't use mayonnaise.
I
know you like that,
mayonnaise,
right? And starter homes. No starter homes. So what they do is they rent until they can afford the bigger, more expensive crap of houses.
That sounds good.
So you are meant to be a 22-year-old, Carl.
I must be.
Check it out. It's in the Tribune. It's a great article.
Well, thanks, Lisa.
Yeah.
All right, time for Dragnet, one of the greatest police detective shows of the golden age of radio, films, and television. Jack Webb created this series. He played Sergeant Joe Friday. It was a great show. And we're going to go back to September 17th, 1949. This is called the James Vickers Case, part one of Dragnet.
Here's another in NBC's great parade of new shows.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
NBC brings you Dragnet. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to Homicide Bureau. A police officer has been shot, mortally wounded. One of the suspects has been apprehended. The other is still at large. Your job? Find him.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime, investigated and solved by the men who unrelentingly stand watch on the security of your home, your family, and your life. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Thursday, November 16th. It was foggy in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of Homicide. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Ed Backstrand, Chief of Detectives. My name's Friday. It was 11:58 a.m. when we got to the Georgia Street Receiving Hospital, second floor, room 5. Treatment room.
Hurry, right, made a good time.
How's Ben, Mr. Doc?
Gunned in the lungs, Ben, 3 times. Going fast.
His wife with him?
They're bringing him down now.
Can we talk to him?
Yeah, make it fast.
Come on, Joe.
Yeah. This way. Easy. John, it's Friday in Romero. I want to talk to you a minute.
Doc. Doc, it burns.
My chest. Burning up.
Nurse?
Yes, doctor?
The hypodermic.
Yes, doctor.
Easy. All right, fellas. Don't take too long.
John, it's Joe Friday. Can you tell us how it happened?
Joe.
How'd it happen, boy? Can you tell me?
Can't figure it, Joe. Why'd he do it?
We gotta find out. Now, how'd it happen?
I don't know. I was directing traffic. East Broadway and First Street. Gray coupe. Pulled up for the stop. Gray coupe.
How many men in the car? How many, John?
Two. Gray coupe. Pulled up for the stop. In the pedestrian lane. Went over. Gonna ask him to back up. Back up out of lane. Just gonna ask him.
Yeah, John, and then what?
Driver. Dark hair. Eyes. Dark. Went over. Gonna ask him to back up. Pointed a gun. No reason. Pointed a gun at me.
All right, easy, John. Take it easy.
No reason, Joe. No reason he fired.
Hurry it up, Joe. Yeah.
No.
What about the other man in the car? Did you see him? Can you describe him?
Joe, did you get him? Great coupe driver. Got with him.
We've got the driver, John. He's upstairs. The other one got away. We gotta find him. You gotta help us.
My wife. Somebody send for Dora.
She's on her way. She'll be here in a minute. Now, can you tell us, the other man in the car, what did he look like?
Great coupe.
What did he look like?
Don't press him, Joe.
Gray coupe. The driver. Pointed a gun. Dark hair.
Yeah, I know the other man, John. We got the driver. What did the other man look like?
Send for Dora.
Come on, Ben. Thanks, Doc.
Okay, Joe.
I'm going fast.
Yeah.
John got any kids?
Two.
Always pick a family man.
This thing's got a phony ring to it, Ben. You don't just pull a gun and shoot a man.
Not if you're sane, you don't. Here's the stairs.
The guy we got is as sane as they come.
And how do we explain it?
All I know is that hood shot John Bemis, and I want to know why.
Might be a lead in that car he was driving.
Maybe. Come on, here we are.
Phone message for you, Friday. Came in a few moments ago.
Thanks, Davis. It's from R&I.
They got a make?
Take a look.
No make or warrants on James Vickers. Great.
Let's talk to him. Come on.
Yeah.
Minor wound, Joe. Bullet penetrated the fleshy part of his hand. Didn't touch the bone.
Thought this guy had an arm wound, too.
Just a neck, Ben.
That officer you shot, Vickers. He's dying.
Is he?
He's a family guy. Got a wife, two kids.
Has he? Why did you shoot him, Vickers?
Ask him.
We did.
And you know the reason.
Said there wasn't any reason.
That's right.
Look, we're gonna make you on this, Vickers. You know that, don't you?
I don't know anything.
Why'd you shoot him?
Shut up!
Why'd you shoot him?
Joe.
Yeah. Davis?
Yeah?
Stay with him.
Bye.
Doc, get us an MT slip on this guy, will you? We'll be back in a minute. Come on, man.
All right, Joe. I'll have it ready.
Too big, punk.
Easy, Joe.
Oh, easy nothing. I've seen too many good cops like Bemis cut down by punks like that Vickers.
Getting mad won't help.
Come on, down the stairs.
Back to see Bemis? Why?
Just for the record. I want to see if the doc thinks it's okay for us to bring Vickers down. I'd like to have Bemis definitely identify him as the guy who shot him.
We've got three good witnesses.
Identification for Bemis will clinch it. I want to see Vickers get everything he's earned when he goes to court.
Here we are.
Yeah.
He went fast, Joe.
Yeah. That his wife?
Yeah.
She make it in time?
No.
Did he say anything that'd help?
No, it might. He said a prayer.
City Hall.
2625.
2625.
Auto Records, Crowley.
Joe Friday, Vince. What about a make on that car used in the Bemis shooting this morning?
Yeah, Joe, I've been trying to get a hold of you. Where are you now?
Georgia Street, second floor. What about the make?
Car was reported stolen yesterday afternoon. Registered to Harold Simpers, 716 Everett Street. Report said the car was taken from a parking lot at Grand and Wabash.
Okay, Vince, thanks.
What about the guns they found in the car?
Lee Jones still has them over at the crime lab. He's running them through.
No word yet?
No.
You make out the impound report on the car, Joe?
Yeah, recovery report, too. They're still dusting for prints.
MT slip ready, Doc?
Yeah, right here, Ben. Medical card, history, MT slip.
You ready, Vickers?
Yeah.
All right, put out your wrists. Put the cuffs on him, Ben. Watch his hands.
You saving me for the highlights?
All right, let's go.
I'm not going to jail.
You're in jail now.
Looks like a hospital.
Bars on the windows, aren't they?
All right, come on.
Give me a smoke.
Here.
Okay. Light. What do I get if I open up?
No deal.
My talk, make it attractive.
Who was the other guy in the car?
Hitchhiker. I always give rides.
And why'd he run when we chased you?
Maybe he was scared.
You're part of a gang.
Maybe.
Who was the other guy?
What's it worth?
Oh, come on, Vickers. You're wasting our time.
Where are we going? All right. My hand hurts. I want to call my own doctor. You hear me? Yeah. That cop pulled his gun first. I can prove it.
Yeah, down the stairs.
Easy, huh? Where are we going? I said, where are we going? All right, what's it worth if I talk? I could tell you all about it. Let's make a deal.
You'll tell us anyhow.
Think so?
All right, you out the door.
Wait a minute, huh? Cigarettes out.
All right, Ben, light it.
Yeah.
Nice of you guys. Thanks.
Get him, Ben. Wait, Vickers, stop. He's crossing the street.
Fire over his head. Watch the crowd. Vickers!
Joe, he's running for that car.
All right, then pull it, Vickers. All right, stop it, Ben.
He stopped. Come on, Joe.
All right, come on, get back. Let us through here. Let us through.
Should I call a doctor, Joe?
No, he wouldn't be interested. The guy's dead. James Vickers, murder suspect, address unknown, died almost instantly at 1:13 p.m. November 16th while attempting to escape. His body was taken to the county morgue where it was posted. All the personal effects found on the body were listed by the coroner and a receipt for them given to our office. At 8:35 the next morning, Ben and I met with Chief Detective Zed Backstrand.
Those four guns they found in the car Vickers was driving, they're all U.S. Army property.
Where were they stolen from, Skipper?
I don't know. Each one of the guns is stamped U.S. Army, that's all.
Well, that makes it easy.
The coroner find anything on the body?
Nothing to tell us why Vickers decided to kill a traffic cop.
What did Bemis say before he died?
He was on traffic duty yesterday morning down at East Broadway and First. At 10:35, a gray coupe pulled up for a stop sign. Vickers was driving. Yeah. Bemis started over to tell him to back up out of the pedestrian zone. Vickers pulled a gun and shot him.
How'd they catch Vickers?
Chased him 3 miles before he piled into a lumber truck. The guy with him got away.
Fine.
Checked R&I. No make or warrants on Vickers. Kickback's not in on his fingerprint.
All right. What's your guess, Fatty?
I don't have one, Ed.
Vickers could have been hopped up.
Doc Stanley over at Georgia Street said no. He checked him.
Wait a minute. Backstrand. Yeah, hold on. For you, Fatty.
Okay, thanks. Fatty talking. Yeah. Yeah, good. Be right over, Lee. We're in business, Ed. Crime lab just found Vickers' address.
There it is, Joe.
Thanks, Lee. Let's see, huh? Silver Dollar Hotel. Received a Mr. James Vickers, $6.50, room 345.
Where'd you find it, Lee?
Under the front seat, in with the tools.
Anything else?
Not a thing.
How about prints?
Two. Kind of smudged. Hope we can run a make with them.
No prints on those four guns, Lee?
Smeared. Not enough to classify.
Yeah, this is it, Ben.
That's all we got.
Come on, let's see if we can make it pay off.
This is it, Ben. Let's see if we can make it pay off. Right. He's like talking to our producer, Ben Anderson.
Who?
Yeah.
What?
Huh? That is the first portion of Dragnet. I love Dragnet. Dragnet, they get you right into it, man. There's a good crime going on there, and you've got to catch the bad guy. Jack Webb is Sergeant Joe Friday from 1949. We'll get back to Dragnet in just a few minutes.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
I have finally figured it out, Lisa. I am a millennial. That's what it is. I don't buy bars of soap. I don't buy napkins. I use paper towels. I use liquid soap. I don't put fabric softener. I also don't put bleach in my... I don't use bleach either.
Well, you can't use bleach on your colors.
No, what I'm saying is on whites, I don't use bleach.
Oh, there was nothing about bleach in the article.
I know, but I just don't.
There was a few other things. It said, don't eat canned tuna was on there. They don't eat that.
I pretty much don't eat canned tuna. No.
There were a few more things, but that was the gist of it. I just thought it was really interesting how that group of people has such a major effect on so many products and services.
They're probably the second largest demographic. I think baby boomers are still the largest demo.
You might be right. You might not be.
Could be. I could be right. Might not
exactly.
Be.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That's funny. Hey, you know, we're playing next week when we come back here.
Yes, I do.
What are we playing?
I chose Suspense, The Martin Lewis Show, and Philo Vance Detective for Saturday night. And on Sunday night, I chose The Bing Crosby Show, just on account of I like it, and The Whistler, because
wow,
I like
Lisa,
it. Wow,
pretty darn good.
Well, yeah, that's how we roll here. We roll here pretty darn good.
Yeah, you know, our whole schedule is available at our website, WGNRadiotheater.com. You can check that out. And we also post our schedule in the Nostalgia Digest. There's a commercial coming up for Nostalgia Digest in the next break.
And you can go to our Facebook page at the beginning of the week around Tuesday or Wednesday. I post our schedule for the weekend. And make sure to like us at WGN Radio Theater.
Yeah, check out our fun fact, too. It's about Barbara Britton. Very interesting fun fact. She was the television's first Laura Petrie.
There's a beautiful picture of
her.
Yeah,
she's a beautiful girl.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And one of our loyal listeners posted right underneath that photo the pilot with Barbara Britton in it.
Head of the Family.
Head of the Family.
Yeah,
and
she was,
it's really,
everyone
really cool
thinks
to watch.
Mary Tyler Moore was the first television.
Yeah. And Dick Van
Laura
Dyke.
Laura Petrie, she was not. So check that out. All right, right now it's time for the conclusion to Dragnet.
We located the Silver Dollar Hotel on East Grand between 16th Street and Pico. It was an old-type frame building with a brightly colored neon sign jutting out over the sidewalk just above the dark entrance. The manager's name was Luther Gage. We showed him a picture of James Vickers. He definitely identified him as one of his former tenants. He told us that Vickers had stayed at the hotel 1 week in room 345 and that he had checked out 2 days ago.
Was Vickers staying here alone, Mr. Gage?
Yes, alone. Quiet man.
Did he have any visitors?
Maybe. Wouldn't know. Paid his bills. Spent most of his time away from the hotel. Good tenant.
Did Vickers have any friends here in the hotel?
Maybe. Fell in the room next to Mr. Vickers. He still lives here. Two of them used to be kind of thick.
Can we look at that room Vickers stayed in, Mr. Gage?
Let's see. Yes, it's still vacant. All right, this way.
This man Vickers was friendly with. What's his name, Gage?
Knight. Raymond Knight. Room 343.
Is he in his room now?
No. Went out about 8 this morning. Here's the elevator.
How well would you say Knight and Vickers knew each other?
Couldn't say. Good tenants, both of them. Pay their bills.
Did they go out together? Seem to know each other well?
Wouldn't know. I don't pry.
Look, this case involves murder, Mr. Gage. We told you that. We'd appreciate your cooperation.
Cooperation don't pay the rent, Sergeant. Third floor. This way. Here. 345.
Open it up. Nothing.
Yeah, oh, here it is. Looks pretty clean, Joe.
All my rooms are clean.
You didn't mean it that way, Mr. Gage. I wonder if you'd show us Knight's room now. That's next door, isn't it?
I don't know about this. Poking into other people's rooms. Not regular.
Neither's murder. Come on, let's go.
Does Mr. Knight have this room to himself?
Sure ask questions, don't you? No, Knight has a friend staying with him. About 2 weeks now. Not in much.
Is he in now?
Don't think so.
Oh, I... Ben, watch it! Oh, drop that, you! Oh.
Bad shot, Mr. Gage. Look out!
Come on, clumsy! Come on, get up!
Here's He's out cold. Look what you've done to the room.
I thought you said Knight wasn't in.
He isn't. This is his friend.
Great friends. 45 automatic in his hand. 38 snub nose in the bureau. Another 45. Look in his bag.
I don't pry. He pays his bills. Good tenant.
Yeah. Can I get outside on this phone?
Yes. All outside calls are 10 cents.
Yeah. Here.
Have to keep the books straight.
Sure you do.
Who's going to pay for the damage?
Ask Mr. Knight's friend here.
Well, say...
Why worry? He pays his bills. Good tenant. I called Ed Backstrand, and he sent out a special detail to stake out the hotel and bring in Raymond Knight if and when he returned. Ben and I drove to the Georgia Street Receiving Hospital, where Doc Stanley patched up the cut on Ben's scalp and treated Raymond Knight's friend for simple cuts and bruises. From papers found in his wallet and in the hotel room, he was identified as Frank Gannon, 9896 Wasatch Street, Kansas City, Missouri. When we got to headquarters, we had Gannon taken to the interrogation room where we questioned him briefly. He told us that he was a self-employed watch salesman, that he was in the city on a business trip. He admitted friendship with Knight, but not with Vickers. We booked him at the county jail for assault with intent to commit murder. The three guns found in the hotel room were turned over to the crime lab. We reported back to the office.
Sure, my head's pounding like mad. That Gannon's a mean.
Yeah, it's a nasty crack. I got some aspirin in my desk.
Might help. Here on.
Hi, boys. Rough day.
I don't get much rougher, any.
Message for you on the desk. Oh, I'm gonna eat. Starving.
Right, Tracy.
What is it, Joe?
Jones got a make on those prints he lifted off the car.
I see. Yeah, something else in there on James Vickers.
Uh-huh. Wanted 10-14-43, desertion, U.S. Army.
That could account for those stolen Army guns.
Yeah.
What about the make on those prints Lee found?
Let's take a look.
Vance Taylor's good solid record.
4 burglaries, 2 armed robberies, 2 assaults. Wait a minute, here's the mama sheet.
Mm-hmm. Born so-and-so, age 36, height and alias John Fields, Harold Grant, Tom Bissell, Hey.
Yeah, alias Raymond Knight. The other man who rode in the car with James Vickers the morning he shot down traffic officer Bemis finally had been identified. Vance Taylor, alias Raymond Knight. Well, that still didn't explain the unprovoked murder. It didn't explain the 4 guns found in the car or the 3 guns found in the hotel room. An assortment of arms like that could mean something big, but we didn't know what. Gannon's sudden willingness to shoot it out in the hotel room meant something, too. We didn't know what. We had Gannon brought back to the interrogation room.
Hi, Gannon. Have a seat.
Everything all right?
I'll bet you're worried.
No, we're not worried, Gannon. You ought to be.
Don't make me laugh.
You're tied in with Raymond Knight. That's enough for us.
You send me up for it.
We're going to try.
Big talk.
How long did you know Vickers?
I didn't.
Oh, funny. His prints were all over one of those guns we found in your room.
I'm not worrying.
Then you better start, Gannon. Vickers and Knight killed a man. If you run with him, your hands are dirty, too.
I room with Knight, that's all.
Knight didn't come back to the hotel. Where is he?
We're not that close.
You share your guns and your friends. That's close enough for us.
I don't know Vickers.
You mean you didn't know him?
I said I don't know him.
We got Vickers, Gannon. He's dead.
Good story.
Okay. Come on, Gannon. Let's get out of the morgue.
Down this way, Joe.
Cold today, isn't it?
Yeah, it's damp.
Bad sinus weather.
No. What is all this?
Never seen a corpse before?
No, I'm not in this. Take me back. I don't want to look.
You can close your eye.
Take me back. I don't want to look.
Here we are, fellas. Slam 45.
This way, Gannon.
I get sick. I don't want to look.
Throw back the sheet, Fred. Take a good look, Gannon.
No, he's Knight's friend. I'm not in it.
Who is in it?
I don't know. I take me out. I'm sick.
All right, Fred. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Interrogation room, Friday.
Joe, on stakeout at the Silver Dollar Hotel. No sign of Raymond Knight. Keep you posted.
Okay, Dave. Thanks.
How long does this go on? I can call a lawyer, you know.
Then you better call one right away, Gannon. They just picked up Knight at the hotel. He's incriminated you.
You're a liar.
Sure.
Like we were about Vickers.
We'll prove it to you, Gannon. The officers are on their way in now. They're going to put Knight in the next room. You can listen to him.
Look, I came here to sell watches. I ain't in this.
Gannon, you and Vickers and Knight were planning a job, a big one. We know that. If you want to wait till you get on the witness stand to tell your story, it's all right with us.
Well, didn't take too long to break this one. Smoke, Joe?
Yeah. Thanks.
Gannon? Smoke?
What are you going to do?
Nothing. Just kill a little time. They bring in Knight.
You haven't got Knight.
I haven't unwrapped him yet, Joe. You want to check me out?
Okay, open him up. Give him a good shuffle, huh? You're going to have some time on your hands, Gannon. Want to learn a new card game?
Nah.
Suit yourself. It's a good game for two. Better with three.
Show a lot of cards.
Yeah. You got two decks there. First off, this game is quite a bit like gin rummy.
Yeah?
There are eight of every suit. Four jokers. Jokers count 50 points.
Mm-hmm.
Red threes count 100 points each. If you get a black three, you can freeze the deck.
Oh, I see.
I shouldn't say deck. In this game, they call it the pack.
Pack? What's a pack?
Well, it's the discard pile, same as in gin.
You get a red three, you can freeze it.
No, it's a black three.
Well, what happens when you freeze it?
Nobody can pick it up.
Oh, I see.
All right. Let's deal out a dummy hand here. It's a fine game, Gannon. Sure you won't change your mind?
You don't want to play, Joe.
All right, now I'm two-handed. You deal out 15 cards, see?
How many can play?
As many as six, I think. I've only played up to four.
You play partners with four?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, got your cards. That gets 15.
13, 14, 15. Right, now what do I do?
Well, I guess you better lay your hand open. That'll be the easiest way to show you.
Okay.
I'll spread them all out over there. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have a great hand there. You got a couple of black threes. You can use those.
Yeah, that's fine. They count 100 apiece.
No. Those are red threes. Black threes don't count anything.
Oh, red three.
That's right. Do you remember what black threes are for?
You can use them to freeze a pile.
Pack. That's right.
The pack. Well, you know what I mean.
All right, now, look, you see, I got a joker here. Jokers are wild. Do you remember how much they count?
They're wild. 100 points.
No, red threes are worth 100. Jokers count 50.
You don't explain it very good. I don't understand.
Well, how simple can it be? Gannon's not even playing. You get it, don't you, Gannon?
Okay, red threes count 100. Jokers count 50. Black threes, you can freeze the pack.
Yeah, good. Now, hold on to that, will you? Now, black threes freeze the pack, but that's not the only card that can do it.
No?
No. Deuces can do the same thing. You see, the only difference is if you use a deuce, which is also wild, you have to have a natural pair in order to pick up the pack. Now, with a black three, it's only good until...
I knew it wouldn't work. It was sour right from the start. Vickers killed the cop.
Ben,
I'm not a
stenographer.
I'm grabbing on. I'm taking no raps.
Johnny, the stenographer.
Right, Ben.
All right, Gannon.
It's too late. You haven't got time. 20 after 1, they're going to do it.
Do what?
Payroll. Brazier Company. Messenger leaves at 1:20. He's got the payroll. $30,000. They're going to get him.
Where does the messenger leave?
1:20. You're too late. I'm not in it.
Where does he leave?
1:20. Leaves the bank, I think. No, maybe the company.
Where's the company?
Third and Spring. They're going to get him.
Where's the bank the messenger goes to?
Up the block, Second National, Third and Hill.
Where are they going to get the messenger?
By the alley, Clay Street. I'm not in it.
Ben, check it. Get out of communications. Have him put out a call to block out the area. Give him the details.
All right.
Johnny.
Yeah, Joe.
Stay with this guy.
Okay.
Davis. Let's go. Brazier. Manufacturing. Olympia.
Your manufacturing company.
Give me your payroll division. This is a police department emergency.
Oh, what's that, sir?
Your payroll division. It's an emergency.
One moment, sir.
Come on, hurry up.
Payroll, Hopkins.
Mr. Hopkins, this is Sergeant Friday, police department. We've had a tip your payroll messenger is going to be held up today. Has he left your building yet?
The messenger?
Yeah.
Oh, my. He left early today. Went out the door about 10 minutes ago.
Thanks. Second National Security. Second National. That's real.
Friday, what's all the excitement? You break that guy?
Explain in a minute, Ed. No time.
Good afternoon, Second National.
Give me the manager on duty, please. Emergency.
One moment, please.
One moment.
Come on.
I'm sorry, sir. The line is busy. Would you care to wait?
Give me the chief teller.
Thank you.
Chief Teller, Waters.
This is Sergeant Friday, Police Department. Emergency call. Has the payroll messenger from the Brazier Company left the bank yet?
Well, I wouldn't know, Sergeant. Just a moment. I'll have your call switched.
Yeah.
Operator.
Beatrice, would you give this call to Miss Chalmers? It's important.
Thank you, Mr. Waters. Miss Chalmers, good afternoon.
Miss Chalmers.
What's the matter, Friday? You sick?
Yeah, I'm sick.
Miss Chalmers. Good afternoon.
Miss Chalmers, this is Sergeant Friday, Police Department. Has the payroll messenger from the Brazier Company left the bank yet?
From Brazier's? Why, yes, not more than 2 or 3 minutes ago.
And he had the payroll with him?
Of course.
Thanks. Got a tip on a payroll sticker, Ben. You coming?
Yeah, let's go.
Ben, down this way.
Coming.
Let's hustle it down the stairs. Communications, get the story?
You got it on the air now. Where's this Brazier Company?
Third and Spring, about 5 blocks from here. Come on, here's the garage. All right, come on, hit it. Let's make time.
Get the radio on.
Just warming up.
All units. Attention all units. On 3rd Street, corner of Clay Alley, 211. A bank messenger. Suspects are headed west on Clay Alley. Suspects are armed. Code 3. 11R, take the call.
Cars are closing in fast.
4th Street up ahead, Ben. Might meet them at this end of Clay Alley.
Hold on. Pretty quiet at this end.
Not much you can do with it.
Hey, look. Coming out of the alley now. Guy with the police. Brown coats. Guy with him. Pull up, Ben. Now let's go.
All right, you two, hold it.
They're running for it.
Come on.
Ben, watch this back.
Let's go.
Come on, they're losing it.
I see him up ahead. They're turning onto Hill Street.
Romero, come on.
Will you, Skipper? You see him, Joe? Heading for the subway terminal.
Yeah, they're going into the crowd. Don't lose them. No, I lost. Now, wait a minute. There they are, over the turnstile. Come on.
Joe, they're off the platform. They're crossing the track.
Hey, that's one of them. Come on, over the turnstile. Come on, there.
Joe, the other guy. He's down into the tunnel. He's crazy.
Come on, after him. Hug the side. You trapped, Ben. There's a train coming through.
You, come back. You're trapped.
Ben, get out. Hug the side.
You all right, Joe?
Yeah. Are you?
Mm-hmm. You want to check?
No, I don't think it's any use.
Yeah.
Well, let's go.
I wonder why he tried so hard, Joe.
I don't know, Ben. Some people are like that. You can blow the whistle all you want. They never know when to stop.
The story you have just heard is true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
Frank Gannon, the only surviving member of the holdup gang, was tried and convicted of the crime of assault with intent to commit murder. He is now serving out his sentence at the state penitentiary. You have just heard the 16th in a new series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice for Dragnet comes from the office of Acting Chief of Police W.A. Wharton, Los Angeles Police Department.
Tonight's program is dedicated to Private Richard H. Taylor of the Washington, D.C. Police Department, who on the evening of December 13th, 1946, gave his life so that yours might be more secure. For the Stars on NBC.
That is Dragnet from September 17th, 1949, the James Vickers case starring Jack Webb is heard on NBC. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Still a few minutes to join the Classic Radio Club for only $1 for the first month. Just go to classicradioclub.com. All the information is there, but you must use the promo code radio at checkout to get that $5 special for the first month. When you get the CDs, there is a $4.99 shipping and handling, though. And the digital download, only $1. And the CDs, only $1. A $40 value. So $40 value, Lisa, for $1.
Yep, it's a great way and a great time to join the Classic Radio Club. Do it right now while you still have the opportunity for the $1 first month promo. Don't forget to put the code RADIO in at checkout, and you can get all of your information, all of your questions answered at classicradioclub.com.
Yeah, you'd either join the digital membership or the CD membership, and you'll get those sent to you every single month. Never get a repeat show, and you can cancel at anytime you want. You can cancel and just pay a buck for the next few minutes. Still have time. Go to classicradioclub.com. All right, when Lisa and I come back here next week, we have some more classic radio shows to share with you. Right, Lisa?
Yes, we have the best of the best Saturday night. We have Suspense, The Martin and Lewis Show, and Philo Vance Detective. On Sunday, we have The Bing Crosby Show and The Whistler. We will be here Saturday and Sunday at 11 p.m.
I can't wait.
Me too.
We'll have a few days off. We'll kind of
stay in because it's going to snow, and we're going to have to take a little time to not have to drive here, and then we'll be back just in time for the snow to end.
I don't have to come downtown this whole week.
No,
I don't think I have any.
We were downtown so much this week, so next week hopefully we'll have a little break.
So we'll be back here next Saturday and Sunday to play classic radio shows for you, which is the highlight of my week. I love presenting these classic radio shows.
I think
for
you just like hanging out with me.
That too. I do. I enjoy being with you. Ben Anderson, great job, buddy.
So good.
What a great producer.
Seriously,
you are.
I say he is a great producer.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ben. And you came back again. Is this the second time you've ever produced our show, right?
Yeah.
Number three now.
Number three.
We're at number three.
Wow.
Well, we hope that we'll have more than three.
Ben,
so
you're a terrific producer. Thanks so much. Stick around. Nick DiGilio. I haven't seen him around here, but I think he's up next, right? He's around? Yeah, Nick DiGilio is up next. Don't miss that.
And I'm going to bring Ben some bacon-flavored popcorn next time because that's his favorite.
Sounds good.
I'm on it.